Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome, everyone.
Host of the show.
To the Swolecast. Oh, I about spit out my drink. All the shenanigans happening pre-show is one of the reasons why we're doing this show. People wanted the Swolecast, and so we give the people what they want. I'm David Kitchen, joined by Peter Overzet, Davis Matic, and Tuttle, Davis or Dan Gasper. People say that Tuttle is a goat of DFS. Like that's what they call him, a goat of DFS. People also say that Marcus Mariota is a goat of the quarterback position, and he is back as a starter. And let's just start off with, I know we got Tyreek news and everything else, but let's just start off with Marcus Mariota in Atlanta. Davis, initial thoughts on this, reunited with Arthur Smith.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we probably see Felipe Franks by like week six. You know, they could potentially be in the market for, you know, there's this KJ Ellaby kid out of Western Michigan. He seems like a fourth round pick, seems like a direction they might go in. You know, they could still trade a second round pick for Jimmy Garoppolo. John Lynch told the media the other day that he has offers in hand for second round picks for Jimmy Garoppolo. So
I don't believe it.
You don't believe John Lynch, or you don't believe the Falcons would do it?
I don't believe that he has offers for Jimmy G. I mean, if the Colts didn't trade for him.
Well, Matt Ryan's better than Jimmy G, so I believe it. I believe that they would opt for trading a third round pick and eating all that salary as opposed to trading a second round pick and having, I don't know Jimmy G's contracts. That probably if he gets traded, he'd need an extension. I'll go look that up.
Do you also believe, Tuttle, that Colin Kaepernick's trainer has received phone calls from at least five teams this offseason?
I do not believe that, no. But I just wanted to congratulate you on such a good comparison between myself and Mariota. Past his prime, washed, never lived up to his promise, better behind the scenes. These are all things that
mentored by Kitchen.
Mentored by Kitchen.
Hey, they have these things in common.
Kitchen, honestly, give me your odds that Mariota starts 17 games this season for the Falcons.
Oh, like you got to say less than 17. You got to go like 15. Like 17.
Okay, 15. What are the odds?
Yeah, it doesn't really change games? The question for me.
Yeah, I'll say the odds that he, I don't know, like plus 110.
Wait, I also just want to back up, Kitchen. You're like, the leash might be not be long enough for 17 games, but I could see him getting through 15.
I think Kitchen
he's going to have like a
he's going to get
the thing with Marcus Mariota is that he had some fluky injuries, like his elbow hitting a dude's helmet. Like, that's just a fluke. He's going to be great. He's going to be fine. Atlanta's going to see. You don't need much to win in the NFC this year.
The Falcons might say, hold my beer on you don't need much.
Yeah, I mean, have you seen whatever they need, the Atlanta Falcons out west than what you need for sure.
Davis, who are the, I should ask Tuttle this, but I'll start with you, Davis. Who are the receivers right now on the depth chart for Atlanta?
So I know they still have Olamide Zaccheaus. They have Brandon Powell And honest to God, I don't know if I can name another guy that's technically under contract.
Peter, you're looking.
I am. Not to cheat. I didn't know it was going to be a quiz. I was legitimately
Tajay Sharpe, Christian Blake, Frank Darby, Chad Hansen.
Oh, yeah, Tajay Sharpe.
Austin Trammell, and that's where they're at. It's a tough scene for the Atlanta Falcons. At least they have CPAT.
Week 15, Marcus Mariota to Chad Hansen. It just feels so perfect.
He's going to be in our cash game shell in week 18 when you come on the Gilcast. It feels like Hansen will be there.
We'll have Laird giving us some more stories about them back in the college days. It'll be great.
Yeah.
Feels like we need to get Ridley on this show during the offseason. I mean, he hasn't.
He can start. He's a tout now.
Yeah, he can be a tout.
Crazy. Is that list of receivers better or worse than what the Packers have?
I mean, MVS is in Kansas City right now, so don't feel good about that, because Kansas City has the cap room to top whatever Green Bay would offer now.
And if you include Kyle Pitts as a wide receiver, I mean, Packers isn't even close.
And Patterson, and include Patterson as a wide receiver, not a running back. It's not even close.
Packers are rough, man.
They might have the worst.
Tanyan coming back this year. They're fine.
Are the Packers the worst they've ever been on offense other than Aaron Rodgers since like we started doing the show like a decade ago? I feel like they gotta be.
Oh yeah. It almost makes me wish they would have just started the full out tank. Rodgers resigned. Who, like, the other thing is, free agent wise, who can they even get now?
Jarvis. Fuller. Fuller is going to Cleveland.
Yeah, it's trash.
What boots on the ground take? Why did this happen? What's going on in Green Bay, Tuttle?
I don't know. Devontae wanted to play elsewhere. I don't blame him, honestly.
I don't blame him either.
No. Do you think it was drama or the team or?
Everyone wishes they were in college again, and he just wanted to go catch passes from the guy he caught passes in college with.
The grass is always greener. Rodgers might be on the way out eventually. You know, he might not go through his full contract. The team, the offense is bad, obviously, outside of Rodgers. I don't blame him. It will be interesting to see what kind of stats he puts up with Rodgers. I'm kind of partially, this isn't just a scoring Packers fan take. I am partially on the team that Rodgers helped make Devontae at least a little bit.
Well, remember how bad Adams was the first 2 years of his career. I mean, he was useless basically. The thing that's interesting from a fantasy perspective is, like, you know, Waller's still on the team. Renfro is not, like, Carr clearly likes to throw to him. Like, is Devontae Adams going to go from being the most targeted guy in the NFL to like 135, 140 targets? Like, it's, I mean, pretty tough scene for his volume.
It is, like, the Rodgers era. I mean, obviously they won a Super Bowl, but for the most part, just the whole narrative about how he felt disrespected. They never would beef up his pass catching options. They draft Jordan Love. He felt slighted. And then it finally seemed like, all right, we're going to give him the contract. And that's like, oh yeah, your favorite, your best receiver, the best connection you'll ever have. Oh yeah, he's gone.
But
like,
did he know that when he signed the contract?
All the people said he did.
I thought it was likely that he did. But it would have been hilarious if he did.
It would have been so. It reminded me, before we knew that, it reminded me like Succession, the show on HBO, like something that would have happened there, where it's just like that twist at the end where you think it's going to work out and then something happens. And then now we've got season 4 coming up. You know, it's that was definitely a season finale that we had. Speaking of windows being shut, let's talk about the Chiefs now, Davis. Tyreek Hill gets traded. Your initial thought is pain and misery.
Initial thought is it sucks, right? Like and not because I like love Tyreek or anything, but just like obviously Tyreek and Mahomes did have like, you know, a Rodgers Adams-ish level connection. And the reason why they had to do this is eventually you have to pay the piper for wasting all your first round picks. And they wasted first round picks 3 years in a row. They trade one for Frank Clark. He's useless. They spend one on CH. He's worse than useless. He like actively makes them worse when he's on the field. And the trade for Orlando Brown, I think you could say, was a success. But what it means is that you have no cost controlled labor on your roster. Who do you look at the Chiefs 53-man roster and say, that's a good contract? I don't think anyone. I think you can justifiably say all Chiefs players are either properly compensated or overcompensated, and you can't have the most expensive quarterback, the most expensive wide receiver, and the most expensive tight end, and waste all these first round picks. My copium is that as the Chiefs are getting their cap situation under control, that is the time that the Chargers and the Bills are going to be running into the same situation that the Chiefs are in now, where so the Chargers are going to have to pay Herbert his mega deal. They just gave Mike Williams a huge contract. They're going to have to pay all these defensive players they have. The Bills are going to have to do the same thing. The Josh Allen mega extension kicks in. Then Diggs is going to be 30. They got to pay Gabriel Davis. They'll have to sign some free agents. So, like, maybe this is the time. You know, this is the time.
Why are you worried about the Chargers?
Well, everyone, you know, this is, it's so funny with the Chargers. Every offseason, they're everyone's favorite team, and they add all these guys in the offseason here. But it, I mean, in terms of like competing windows, Herbert, Mahomes, and Allen are all roughly the same age, and Burrow too, by the way, who is 25, and people forget that he is 25. You know, the Chiefs are kind of, I guess, moving their window. It's pretty shut right now. It's never shut, obviously, when you have Patrick Mahomes, but they're just scaling it 2 years back, really, so that they're not as aligned with all those other teams.
The offseason has been absolutely nuts. And like, I like it just as a fan. It makes things fun to think about. I mean, it's from a fantasy perspective, you know, you guys know I'm diving in every day. Like
how many underdog super flex drafts have you done, Kitchen? I mean, that's your format.
You kind of worked with them step by step getting that launched. I heard
you get a royalty on every entry, don't you?
Yeah, I should. but you know, it's just been fun. I want to know like best moves that you like the most, moves that you like the least. Like Davis, what move did you like the most, and what move just like you just couldn't believe?
I mean, I think that the best signing of the offseason is Smith-Schuster for $6.5 million to the Chiefs. The only thing.
Wait, would you say that's a good price?
Yeah. Would you
just
not?
Said no one on the Chiefs is, you said they're either there we go, properly there we priced.
Go. I'm wrong. There we go. There's one. I thought that was the best combination of solves an immediate problem for an NFL team and is also really good for fantasy. I was just looking at one of my chats that I'm in, and I saw a couple guys mentioning that Smith-Schuster in their FFPC best balls today was going in the 7th round. Honestly, if they don't draft a wide receiver in the first round, I think he's going to get up even higher than that. The worst move, I don't know. I don't feel like anyone's really done. I mean, Kirk for $90 million, I guess, is the worst one. Because what? Amari Cooper got 3 years, $60 million. I mean, I would much rather pay Amari Cooper that money.
And even like if they, like one of your favorite players that maybe it tanked his value. Like, let's say like LaVisca was this awesome player, and then he goes to like
a. Dude, we've moved on. We don't even know who that is anymore. Right. We have completely moved on.
But you understand, like he goes to somewhere where his talents can't be really displayed.
Maybe the Bills trade for him.
I've already heard some whispers, a little KC, LaVisca to KC.
I think it would be interesting, but I actually think it would be the type of player you don't want to give to Andy Reid, because he would just call some dipshit plays with them. And like there'd be, you know, he did the third and goal against the Bills. He called the belldozer option play. Like, don't even give Andy Reid that option in a big game. Like, don't even give him the option to have LaVisca Chenault throw a pass in a playoff game.
I mean,
like,
Davis, as Visca truthers, we're scraping the bottom of the barrel here. Would take the trick red zone play for Visca.
No, Pete, here's the thing. When the ship has sunk this far, you just gotta abandon ship. Like, I'm not sending Mecole Hardman tweets. If it happens, it'll come back around to me in a good way, but I'm not even trying to get these tweets off right now. Like, we just gotta let it go.
Kitchen, are you just fishing for us to say that the most important signings were Austin Hooper and Robert Woods? No.
I want to know like what you guys are really excited about. Like, what's your favorite offseason addition?
I mean, I will say that Russ Wilson to the Broncos.
Well, sure. Yeah.
that was, I mean, there was always the rumors like, oh, would they get Rodgers, maybe Rodgers Adams package deal, because we've all stared at their talent on offense and be like, if you get a real quarterback in here, this could be a blast off scenario. I think Russ is a great fit, and you can just go down the depth chart. I mean, all the way down to KJ Hamler and Tim Patrick, like those guys can produce with Russ Wilson, Javonte Williams, hopefully taking the reins. That offense is going to be so fun.
Yeah, agreed.
Although it is, there is this big, you know, this is like the shark fin coming out of the water that everyone's ignoring right now, which is that there's no team showing any interest in Melvin Gordon right now. And Melvin Gordon said, I want to be back in Denver. Denver said, we want to have him back. He could sign like a 1 year, $2 million deal. And I don't imagine that he is going quietly into the gentle night.
Honestly, from a fantasy draft perspective, like, give me, I don't want to have to draft Javonte Williams at the 1-2 turn. You know, let Melvin Gordon come back.
He's going there regardless. I think Melvin Gordon.
Melvin's back. He's not going at the 1-2 turn.
Where do you think he goes?
Third round.
No, fuck no. No. Oh, sorry. Sorry, Devin. There's no way, because what you'll see is that people are so anchored already to this idea that he's not on the team that I think most people will just cope with it like I'm doing right now and just be like, it's fine. It's just Melvin Gordon.
People are so anchored to recency bias, and he was in a true 50-50 split with Melvin. Like, they're not going to feel like pulling the trigger on him there if he's back.
What if Hackett says, you know, they come into training camp.
Is this where, like, I ask who Hackett is?
He's the old Green Bay offensive coordinator. He's the head coach of Denver now. Okay. So he comes into training camp and he's like, you know, we're glad to have, what's his name, Melvin Gordon. We're glad to have him back. But, you know, this is Javonte's backfield. We believe we're going to, what was the quote about CJ Spiller? We're going to give him touches till he throws up. Right.
Yeah. I mean, I think if Melvin's back, people are going to assume he's getting some sort of touches. So I don't know. I would definitely take the going much lower than the 1-2 turn if Melvin's back.
All right. So Browns, Sitch, since we're kind of recapping just our general thoughts about all these moves, do you think that the Browns this year, like, how many games does Deshaun Watson play?
Like, in between 6 and 8, I think. Because there is precedent for the NFL suspending players in which there is no criminal conviction, and his legal issues are not done. All of the plaintiffs of the potential grand jury indictment are not dropping their civil cases. So either he's going to
Cleveland thinks that it's between six and eight.
Yeah, they structured his contract. I mean, that was probably the worst thing about all of it, which was all pretty gross and terrible, was that they structured his contract in such a way that he basically loses no money. Even if he's suspended for the entirety of the 2022 season, all of the money is deferred to the later years of his contract.
So how does
this mean we might get Jacoby Brissett season?
Is that who they signed?
Yeah,
probably.
First 8 games or whatever.
Nothing is more inspiring than Amari Cooper and Jacoby Brissett playing outdoors in Cleveland. Like, that's going to be fantastic.
Do you see Tyrod is now with the Giants?
Yeah, they finally got a quarterback. Good for them.
Oh, Daniel Jones season, man.
It is going to be a little bit of a bummer. Like, the easiest way to just make any day better was just to just hate on the Giants. You know, just send some pithy Gettleman is a loser tweet. You know, immediate 10 retweets, 112 faves, lots of responses. And it sucks that we just have kind of lost that as a community.
The only quarterback related to the Giants I care about is the new starting quarterback of the Pittsburgh Maulers, Kyle Laletta.
Let's go.
USFL season, guys.
Oh, you know, you should have done a redo of your original XFL photo, though. The USFL photo was not as good.
Trust me.
You should just photoshopped, too.
Guys, there's a roadmap for these photos. I already have it in mind. That was to get the quick release with the announcement out. Don't worry. I think the caption's going to be Web 2 me versus Web 3 me. XFLP, USFLP, the safe spot. So stay tuned for that.
Appealing to the crypto crowd you picked up.
Yeah. Bored Apes just raised $450 million on like a $5 billion evaluation yesterday, but
it's a good normal and healthy economy. I'm sure there's not going to be any prices to be paid later down the road for some of these valuations.
I think that would have been a good company to invest in really early on.
Yeah.
Well, and I bet Kitchen would have probably even have been able to get in on the seed round as, you know, a Bored Ape whale if he would have held his initial position, really kind of compounded his bet on the Yuga Labs ecosystem.
Things could have been very different this offseason.
Yeah, what would how much ApeCoin would 10 apes have been airdropped to you? How much roughly?
I don't honestly.
This is good that you haven't thought about it.
I had really good. Yeah, it's healthy.
Mute some keywords. You know, now the bit, it's just like a part of the bit. Like, hey, I was the guy that paper handed apes. It wasn't just me though. I mean, there's a lot of people that
it's that totally worth the bit equity for sure. Yeah.
There's totally worth the bit equity.
So Davis, when I come to your wedding, I'm just going to bring pictures of all the apes that I sold and just like tell people that I meet.
No one at my wedding is going to know what an NFT is.
Okay. Wow. Here's the question, Davis. What's going to be the ratio of DFS/fantasy guys to like normies at your wedding?
95.
Can we say
five?
Skater boys?
You're invited, Bankmeyer's invited, Leone's invited, Overzet's invited, Tuttle's invited, Drewby's invited, and I think that's it, if I
so
remember
we
correctly.
So we can really do some damage to your brand with your normie friends.
You could, if that's what you want to do with your wedding invitation. I would hope you wouldn't.
You guys are going to have to hold down the fort for me. I'm not going to be able to make it.
Yeah, Overzet's not going to be. Oh, Karain's coming too. Or invited. I don't know if he's coming.
Was it because Davis planned it right in the middle of draft season?
No, it's because Mike Zakarian from Team Hold is getting married and I'm in that wedding. They picked the same day. And so if Davis would have had me be in the wedding, then we would have really had
that would have been hardcore. I kind of thought about it. I kind of thought about it just for the bit equity of like
Overzet bit equity.
Of like, Davis, you should have given him my invite. That would have been hilarious.
What if I'm like the ring bearer?
Pete, if you're there, I would love to have you in the ceremony for the bit equity.
I'm legitimately, all bits aside, very, very bummed. I would have been there 100% otherwise. So yeah, I'm bummed.
We could have done the Swolecast on location.
Oh man.
During the wedding.
During the wedding.
Forget cutting the cake together. It's Swolecast time.
Correct.
But you said you've been crushing the planning. I want to know what crushing the planning means to you.
I mean, like, we're just way ahead on all the checklist stuff. Like, it's all pretty much done. Like, I mean, obviously there's lots of like minor things that you have to do a little bit closer.
You have a planner?
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to make sure. That helps tremendously. But we asked like how involved you were in the decisions. Like, and you said you're more involved than your fiance is.
No, I mean, we like most things in life, it's pretty split 50-50. Like neither of us is carrying more water than the other. Secret to a healthy relationship, Dave.
Yeah. But I mean, I get what you're saying, but most weddings are not 50-50 in the planning department.
I guess I think maybe what Kitchen's asking is, are there any flourishes to the wedding that are going to have the Davis kind of stamp of approval? Like I'm going to see some like ice sculpture of Mikkel Hardman and be like, oh yeah, this was Davis's idea.
No, there will not be anything like that. I mean, if Laird came, that would be, that would be the flourish.
Like Laird underwear or something that, you know, you can take a little piece of the face.
I think I am going to bring my skateboard though, to take photos, because there's like so in front of where we're getting married, there's like a stair set. And I think I'm going to hop down it in my suit.
Dude, that, you know, when you throw the rice at the couple when they're coming out of the church or whatever, we all throw rice as David does a kickflip off of a 4-foot.
But here's the thing. You mess up on just a normal staircase, it's fine. You mess up on a wedding day where people are looking at you. There are all sorts of cameras.
Be the greatest viral video of DFS Twitter in the history.
Yeah. It's just, it's something I'm pondering, you know, we'll see.
Yeah. No, I'm all for it. I'm all for it because the risk reward is,
could be great photo, could be great viral moment. You know, I think either way we can find some positives.
All right. Oh, go ahead.
People are here for the Swolecast. As you know, sometimes we get off topic, but I feel like we're very on topic right now. You mentioned picture. I wasn't going to bring it up, but maybe I will. Your engagement photo on the invite.
It's on my fridge.
I'm standing on a rock.
Yeah, what's that strategic?
Yeah,
you look about 6'6".
No, Peter, I don't want you to show this.
No, Peter, don't.
My fiance,
I didn't notice this, Davis.
Fiance does not want to be doxxed.
Okay. Right. I didn't say her name or anything. It's not like Lauren.
Please don't. She does not want to be doxxed.
Or Nicole. Yeah, or
but Hall. Yes, I'm standing. I'm very strategic. I told the photographer I was going to do this. I was like, you know, we took some normal ones, like other ones, like with our dogs and shit. But I was like, we need a couple where I am perched.
So Davis on the boulder. She's just like looking up at him.
You got to do it.
Okay. Yeah. I have a very, very strong opinion on wedding photography.
Ooh.
And so I'm curious, Davis, are you getting pictures with the bride before everything starts, or are you doing it between
a first look,
ceremony
Davis?
And reception?
So originally the plan was to do it between ceremony and reception. And then we were talking to the planner and they were like, you know, that just creates a bunch of logistical hassles for everybody
yes,
else.
Yes, you ended up on the good side of things.
And so we
you
were
have
like,
a happy
we
hour.
Like, yeah, but that happy hour can be like long and it can be hot.
It's
like,
miserable it's, for whoever's in the wedding.
Yeah.
And exactly. has to sit around.
Here yeah, so, is where soccer dad differs a little bit. I knew I'd have the opposite take of Tuttle here.
Well, you want the first look pyramid.
I want to see her walking down the aisle yeah. and you know, I want the tear. I want the everything.
That and, is a soccer Dave move.
Yeah, that's a soccer Dave thing.
Yeah.
We did our first look ahead of time too. And even then our photographer still made us do like 20 minutes of photos. And I'm like itching to get to the cocktail hour. We had a nice cocktail hour. And then you feel like you get to enjoy it for about 20 minutes and then it's over. Yeah.
Yeah. Listen, Davis, the wedding, it's not about you. That's what you need to understand first. It's not about you. You're not gonna sit down and everything. It's everybody wanting to get to talk to you and everything else. So just be prepared.
It's all good. The only thing that's really bothering me right now is that I haven't found a way to rig up a way to register for JPEGs on the wedding. Like I thought there would be some sort of plan to have like a crypto wedding registry. Seems like it's
over
not
a goon.
Possible.
You want people me to buy you a mooncat?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Literally.
Kitchen, honestly, you should do that as a wedding gift. It would be the best bit ever.
Congratulations, Davis. Here's
and
a
then,
Darius
and then
Garland.
Every time, and then
I would if he didn't like just like if I made this like big speech and then right after it, he like sells it for, you know, whatever the floor price is. And the joke's on me.
I promise you, if you gift me a mooncat, I will hodl it forever. I will never list it.
Ooh.
All right.
I like that.
All right.
If anything, that's just kind of diversifying your crypto security kitchen, you know, like it's not even going anywhere.
Okay. Yeah. We'll see. I'm not going to ruin the gift for you. I mean, but also like, let's just lower expectations. Don't get you a mooncat. It's going to be like a toaster, whatever is on your registry. Like, I mean,
I'm shocked. See, Davis, I wouldn't trust people because if you had something to get an NFT registry, everyone, people are just going to send you the worst shit.
The worst like, shit. Yeah.
That comma suit, whatever the pixelated.
Oh yeah.
Not
all day car moments.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Send you some goons of Balatroon.
God, so dusty. I finally moved off a few more of those at a loss.
I can't bring myself to do it.
Because he was pumping some all day pack the other week that he opened.
Yeah, you know who was on that?
Those had to be worth like $5.
Two Tuas.
why
I got two Tuas.
What are your guys' thoughts on why All Day is so boring compared to Top Shot? Like, Top Shot is still so much more fun.
My take is that there's no good curation to the moments too. And it feels so scattershot with like week 13 or whatever. It's like, I want the definitive Jamar Chase rookie melt from the whole season, not just some random moment. Yeah.
100%. Yeah. I think that's actually why I liked the Jalen Waddle that I got, is because it was a touchdown. Like, you don't, most of the run, you want like a run that's like impressive, even if it's not a touchdown, like that is like, ooh, like a highlight. You want an actual highlight.
Wait, are they just throwing out like 10-yard slants out there and stuff?
Yeah, like on a top 10, like if it's a SportsCenter top 10, you don't want some first down that moves the chains. You know, like, I agree with the curation.
I got a punt on my second time ever opening a pack, and I didn't buy a pack again. I was like, that was too lame. Like, that was just way too lame.
I'm still buying packs.
I mean, that's a...
Well, the other reason you know it's broken is like when I've opened mine, the biggest sweat has been just no defensive players. Like, I don't even care if I just even get a Keelan Cole. I'm like, yes, not a defensive player.
No, yeah. I mean, I almost, everyone knows I'm a Titans fan, right?
Wow.
So, but like there, if you wanted to go all in, like, you know how I went all in on Darius Garland. I almost went all in on AJ Brown too, because like it wasn't like his debut, because I think his debuts are rare, but it was a season one AJ Brown moment. It was like going for $8 or $9. I don't know what it is right now. It might be the same thing, but you get just like 100 of those and hope that they go for eventually 50 or $100. I don't know. It feels like there is some upside there, but I do agree with someone who's like, why buy a pack for 250? When I can just spend that 250 on like legit good players at bottom prices right now.
Well, not to mention the whole price point for, like, we joke about Top Shot being in beta, even though they've been around forever. Like, All Day could make a legitimate claim to being in beta for those initial drops. Like, don't charge us 250 for.
I did not know the pack. You guys are spending 250 a pack.
No, I did. I'm not.
No, my friend did.
I would spend 250 on any freaking thing that Top Shot would drop at this point. Like, I just am hopelessly, like, I just am a Top Shot fiend. Like, I can't help it. But,
well, the big difference, and I'm not educated on NFL Day at all, I obviously didn't even know they were charging 250 a pack, but the difference when NBA Top Shot was charging or increased their prices to some legendary packs and what stuff is, money was already on their site,
on the site.
They already had an ecosystem because people already bought much lower priced packs.
100%.
250 is like, and that's why people would reinvest the money in highly priced things, is because it's like, oh, I'm already playing with, you know, dealer's money anyway, or house money anyway, but to, you know, have to go on deposit 250.
Dave, do you think we'll ever get underwater on these Garland moms?
Of course.
It's pretty underwater. Pretty far away to where.
Okay, but Davis, here's the thing. You bought at the absolute top. It didn't matter what you bought. Like, this is the least amount of underwater at you least, could be.
At least I'm less down bad than the guy who paid $30,000 for the legendary Tyler Herro.
Right, and I think I paid like 15. I think I paid like 15 for a Ja Morant MGLE season one. Like, I mean, it doesn't matter what you bought. You're gonna be
Pete. How down bad are we on our Zion debut that me, you, and Karain co-own?
I know we're down bad on it because the other day I was like filtering my collection by like lowest ask, and I just kept scrolling and scrolling. I was like, this one used to be way up by the top.
It's Zion had to have been the worst individual player that anyone could have bought in on when Top Shot was pumping, like all relative to what he did, and like he, it's got to just be the worst. Like, Zion had to be the nut low.
And not to mention, we talk about like curation and actual cool moments. His volleyball spike block is still legit one of the coolest,
so good.
In a vacuum moments there, and he just tanked it.
We just need the Pelicans to trade for James Harden to be the next team to try and fix James Harden, and then they make the playoff run next year.
The Darius Garland rookie play is nice too.
But I honestly can't. I don't even remember what it is. I own this moment that I spent $2,500 on.
It's an and one from his first game, and he does, or maybe it's not his first game, but it's his rookie, but he does like a spin over the backboard and it drops in. Like it's a cool moment. But last week I got a text, like it was to me and you, Davis, or it was a tweet to me and you, like your moment has finally arrived. And I guess there was a LeBron challenge and you needed it on the spin the wheel. You needed a Darius Garland season one.
Yep. I did. I was able to complete that challenge because of that, which was nice. So I love the challenges. The challenges.
Are tight. I could have sold, but I mean, that was the moment if I wanted to, like, cause I've got, I think 30 Darius Garland season one rookies. So I missed it.
You learned a lot during the NFT boom, didn't you?
We're just going to keep hodling. That's what I learned. All right, let's get back to NFL.
Yeah. LeBron James is out tonight, by the way, guys.
Oh,
wow. How's that going to affect the P-owns tonight, Tuttle?
Yeah, get to grind that for an 11 game
series. You know what? At least the end of this NBA season has been really good, and teams like have to win every single night. Like it could be so much worse for you if every team was like already resting guys right now.
They've done a little bit better at announcing lately. We'll see if that continues. But I mean, actually, it'll be interesting to see Westbrook. Nobody cares, but Russell Westbrook's complete dust. So it'll be interesting to see if people still play him.
Westbrook. You guys remember a couple years ago when the West was just absolutely loaded?
Yeah, now it's the East.
Right. But it was like if you were the ninth or tenth team in the West, you would have been like the second or third team in the East. Like
wasn't it like that for like 7 or 8 years? I mean, there was
probably been longer than that. Yeah.
It was 3 or 4 years, but it was when we started having all these, is when Durant went to the Warriors. And you had all these like super teams and everything else. And now I feel like that's how the AFC is for the NFL. And so I'm going to throw out some, like, we know what a rug pull is, right? People in the crypto space know what a rug pull is. It's whenever you think you're signed up for something, you're really excited about it. And then the developer just pulls the rug
the cuddly koalas effect.
Yeah.
And an example would be Davis getting promised to get a moon cat as a wedding gift and then he doesn't get it. That would be a kitchen.
That would be kitchen pulling the rug on.
That would be me rug pulling Davis. There have been so many moves this offseason that a few of these AFC teams and their fan bases are going to be rug pulled. You can only have 7 playoff teams. And you look at some of these teams, like the teams that the Bills, for instance, like they didn't really make any big moves, but they're going to be really good. You mentioned the Chargers, Davis, and then all these other teams that made moves, the Broncos, the Raiders, the Colts, the Browns, the Dolphins. So you got to go in and you got to tell us, like, who are some of the teams that are not going to make it? Like, what are the teams that are going to be rug pulled and just not make the playoffs this year?
I mean, it's the Chargers. The Chargers are the rug pull team. They're always the rug pull team. They're the rug pull team every year. They got Justin Herbert and they got Bosa is the guy's name. I mean, they have all these players and they're just destined. They're just destined to be the rug pull team. Like they're already moved way up in Super Bowl odds. And we all know what's coming and it's not good.
So you think the Chargers don't make it? Do you think the Dolphins make it?
No. I mean, I think the Chargers will be like, the Chargers will probably be like the fourth seed and then they'll lose to the Bengals at home or whatever.
No, that's not what I'm asking though.
You're asking which team doesn't make the playoffs?
Yeah, that like,
I mean, it'll be whoever has the worst injury luck is the team that won't make the playoffs. But in terms of like real rug pull, like the Packers rug pulled everyone last year. They win 13 games and they score 7 points on offense at home against the 49ers. Like that's the rug pull. I mean, the other rug pull will be when the big football guys like Trent Dilfer and Dan Orlovsky and stuff, the Patriots will win a couple games they weren't supposed to, and they'll be like, you know, the Patriots are going to be a tough out, and then they'll get boat raced at home or a boat raced on the road if they do make the playoffs because they're the slowest team in football.
Yeah, but I don't know. Like, again, we're just talking about teams that make the playoffs. The AFC is so loaded that there are going to be a number of teams that don't make the playoffs. Pete, you understand this concept of this segment, right?
I do. I mean, the biggest team that's going to get rug pulled, and I'm shocked where they're still at in the Super Bowl odds, it is the Packers. I mean, they have the fourth shortest odds right now in the market at plus 1,000. I mean, that seems crazy to me, and I think they could be a team that misses the playoffs. We saw how Brady looked just being down a couple of Godwin in AB at times, and how rudderless that offense looked. And now you're going to take this out, Adams away for Rodgers. This seems way too frothy for their odds.
Yeah, it was an AFC related question though, Peter. Like, I understand that you get the concept, but maybe
you need to ask more pointed questions, Kitchen.
Kitchen is asking us which good team in the AFC is going to miss the playoffs. I mean, unpopular opinion, it's the Bengals, right? The Bengals have this pretty average roster, and they ran super hot. I mean, they ran unbelievably hot in the playoff. They could have lost every playoff game they played.
Should have lost the Titans.
What about the true hot take that the AFC West now is all rocked up and the Chiefs don't make the playoffs?
I think there is a definite possibility that the Chiefs don't make the playoffs this year.
Well, they have like 1.5 good players, so I guess in the end of the day it wouldn't be that surprising, but man, would it freaking suck. That would not be fun.
But hey, even like as a Titans fan, when the Colts got Matt Ryan, it's like, you know, there's not going to be a wild card coming out of the AFC South. So you just better win the AFC South if you want to. So Tuttle.
Yeah. I really have not a whole lot of idea what we're talking about, because I was just talking basketball with some other people on work Slack, but I heard the Chiefs and I had a spicy Chiefs take from earlier that I wanted to get off. So I thought now is potentially a good time.
Okay.
Travis Kelce is dust.
Ooh. Well, he already started.
So the take is that Tyreek Hill leaving doesn't make him less dusty; it makes him more dusty.
Yeah.
I bet you won't say that to his face.
I mean, I think probably any hints of like actual dust are more likely to influence the Chiefs at a team level than a Travis Kelce fantasy level. The other thing is, I mean, if they sign another free agent and they draft Jameson Williams or whatever, I think there's my this is my coping mechanism, but my coping mechanism would be teams clearly had an answer to the last 3 years of the Chiefs offense, or I mean, remember how bad they looked against the Titans. It was one of the worst games of Mahomes' career before his total collapse in the AFC Conference Championship, but clearly it needed to change anyways, because there was a defensive front that teams are putting on the Chiefs, and they turned Mahomes into a game manager. And so just giving some different looks and having different players with a different skill set. I mean, the thing is Tyreek is just so freaking good, dude. He just is so, like, he's so good that I'm just coping.
And I mean, the thesis is Kelce's baseline is already so high that like he's not going to improve. Like, you're not going to really improve on 10 targets or whatever it was per game.
No,
like, you can only feed him the ball so much. So his age continues to settle in. Is there's less weapons around him? You mentioned offensive efficiency. If they have less end zone looks or red zone looks, less touchdown. So yeah, I think Kelce, like, some people might be like, oh, Hill's out, Kelsey's gonna eat. I don't think that's the correct take.
Well, guys, literally breaking news right now. Maybe we already found the skeleton key for the Kansas City Chiefs. Ronald Jones visiting the team this afternoon.
Oh, they need some more running backs there in Kansas.
Well, rumor on the street is that they are going to let McKinnon and Darrell Williams both go. So they do kind of need a running back. Because
doesn't McKinnon still have a year left on his contract?
Pretty sure it was a one-year deal.
You had to bring up, I still have terrible memories of Darrell Williams, Jerick McKinnon.
Yeah.
Playoff football.
Yeah, it was really not a good time. McKinnon was on a one-year deal. He was at Mahomes' wedding, though.
I know. I saw that photo. I was in Hawaii when Mahomes had his wedding. I also missed Chris Conley at our hotel by one day.
That's a bummer.
I should have crashed the Mahomes wedding. I saw Kelce tearing it up on the dance floor. Seemed like it was a good time.
So that is the Corrine and I did some investigative reporting, and we basically found out that like every Chiefs player, past and present, was there. So we thought it was kind of like this, oh, McKinnon got invited to the wedding. Maybe Mahomes really likes him, and not just all of the Chiefs players were there.
Yeah, you mentioned Kelce. Like, they've got that tight end university here in Nashville. I wonder if we could get media passes to that.
Like, and then maybe we'll do DFS. Maybe we'll do a DFS house too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
DFS.
DFS house is going to be turned into best ball house.
Did sure. you get it? Yeah. Was there a DFS house vibe in Nashville? Oh, I was gone on my trip when you guys were all congregating. It seemed like a fun time.
Yeah. So they asked for, so it was a bunch of Establish the Run guys, Levitan, the OGs, Levitan, Dink, Wiggins, Taylor, and Leone ate the like hottest hot chicken, and it didn't even faze them. And Dink and Bells gave him $250 to do it.
I was very not online during my trip, but I happened to check Twitter at one point, saw that photo, immediately saved it, and said, this is going on some thumbnail or some emo at a Discord server at some point.
I always like to take candid photos of Leone because they are so good. Like they just can be used in so many ways for Photoshop purposes. But I told him these like awesome brunch spots, and they go down there like, nah. It was too long of a wait. Like, they didn't reserve any sort of restaurants in Nashville, which you have to. And so they ended up like going to, it's called The Pub, for brunch. And it was this place I'd never even been to. And it was pretty bad. And then I was telling him like, yeah, we got a ping pong table at the office. Well, everyone just jumps up basically. And what I didn't know is that Bales and CSU both brought the house that they were renting in Nashville, they brought their ping pong paddles, their own ping pong paddles to play. And so we went to the office and then played ping pong for like a couple hours before.
I'm surprised you had time considering how busy your work schedule has been recently.
Director of creative.
They caught me on an unbusy day. They caught me on a Friday.
You can write that off as industry networking, right?
DB, are you watching the show, bud? Yeah.
Guys, when I'm able to book Levitan, Leone, Dink on this,
those guys are really hard to track down.
No, here's the thing. He says it as a joke, but you 100% know this is his rationalization for it.
100%. I mean, it's not like Hitchin had anything else to do at the office that day, so it's not like he can be.
Yeah,
that
he would classify it as work to Holly, to his wife. He'd probably
1 million.
Like, yeah, Holly, I gotta go.
1 million.
No, I told her that I played ping pong and went to some random place called The Pub.
And then you said, I love my job.
Yeah. and DB was supposed to join us, but
he had to work.
His flight got canceled. Yeah. His flight got canceled. So anyway.
Sorry, I'm at the office, dude. Nothing I can do.
But for people wanting to know, yes, I beat Drew Dinkmeyer 11-1 in ping pong. And Drew Dinkmeyer, he played college tennis at an Ivy League school.
Same sport for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Who is the best ping pong player out of that crew? And don't say yourself.
Gotta be Bales.
No.
No, it was CSU, right?
Yeah, CSU. Because
I saw the tweets, the little back and forth exchange about how Bales thinks he suckered him into a bad price or something.
Well, that's because he was giving him like seven points. However, I will say, the serve is important in table tennis, and CSU, he kind of ball to paddle, doesn't throw it up, Olympic style. We battled.
Oh, I'm just like, I know how these guys get when they're gambling. I'm just like, this does not sound like that fun of a time.
Have taken Levitan's money because I was able to beat Levitan pretty easily, and he thought he was going to be able to take me.
Kitchin, did they make you CCR while you went to lunch? Did you get a little sweaty?
No, that was for the hot chicken, and yes, I did lose that.
Really? CCR sucks, dude.
Yeah.
That's when Kitchen threw down the better collective card.
Threw down the work credit card.
He's like, hey, DB, can I get this expense proof, please? I know you couldn't make it because you're stuck at the office, but
this is how you win. So pre-roll credit card.
Logs onto Slack and sends Stephanie a message. The
accountant. Bell has $150 paddle. And he's the spinny guy. You know, he's like the heavy spin, which is good for me because I'm more like very aggressive. But Bales is, he's so Bales that, right? Like after he got done playing ping pong against everyone, then he sends out a tweet, which was, does anybody in the Miami area like can teach or coach ping pong? And so I know that he's going to go and spend like a year of his life just trying to become a better ping pong player. Like it was so classic Bales after that.
I mean, it's been a while since we've gotten a new Lucky Maverick post. I need how I became a ping pong pro in 11 months.
How I spent $10,000 on a ping pong coach to win $100,000 bet.
So everyone's talking about like what time they have to leave. Like, oh, gotta be at the airport this time. And so Bales, what time are you leaving? And like he's like, oh, I don't have a flight book. And everyone's like, what? They said, yeah, I'm gonna go find a place to fish.
What a life. Speaking about people having to go,
I do have a hard out.
A couple minutes before 4 p.m. Not a bit.
Yeah, we can wrap her up.
You said 4 p.m.
Well, that's when my show starts. You know, I like to be in the hopper a little bit ahead of time. Oh, do
you want to plug your show while you're on this show?
Brian and I moved Lowell's from the evenings to the late afternoon. So Brian and I. That's Sam Hoppin's going to hop on. We're going to talk a little F1 DFS.
I'm really disappointed in your decision to not become an F1 thought leader. It's an area that I think would feel very rich for your style of comedy.
You know, maybe I pull a Brady, say I'm out, and then storm right back in.
Speaking of F1, kudos to the RG Projections and Optimizer team, because we already have an optimizer set up for F1. They were able to do that in 3 or 4 days. So I thought that was pretty impressive. All right. I think that'll be it.
Integrated ad.
Yeah. Who are going to be some of the key targets that we get for this offseason for guests?
Everyone you played ping pong with.
Yeah. I thought that was the point of your business lunch.
Well, that's, yeah. Besides them, I already did the dirty work there.
Well, the most logical guest would be Darren Rovell.
Oh, man. I don't know if he gets the show.
Oh, I didn't know we had qualifiers.
You know what? We should see if Patrick wants to do it. We should see if Laird wants to do it.
Yeah, I think he doesn't want to, and probably not a great stylistic fit.
I just like the interaction between Laird and the potential interaction between Laird and Kitchen would be really good. We haven't done a show with him for a while. We should set that up at least.
Yeah.
Kitchen's got to read a book if he wants to do a show with Laird.
Deal. Yeah.
Book review.
Book club.
All right. Well, I'm thinking, trying to think more outside.
He's too busy.
Can we let the people know? I'm putting you on the spot, Kitchen. What's going to be the cadence for off season Swolecast stuff?
There will be
Swolecast this year.
Swolecast next week?
Yes.
Yeah. We'll do a Swolecast next week.
The week after that.
We literally didn't get to 20% of the NFL shit because...
Did you think that we were going to, like, as the Swolecast is, do you think we're going to be hyper-focused and go team by team?
I thought we'd get at least 10 minutes of Mariota, to be honest.
I didn't even talk about the Titans once.
You didn't talk about Robert Woods. I kept trying to bait you into it.
Yeah.
For
acquisition.
Yeah, Woods and Hooper.
Here we go.
Hey, Kitchen, who do you want at tight end this week on DraftKings? What, Austin Hooper, who did the Titans play?
I mean, no, that they filled some needs there, and then there's going to be some rookie wide receiver that's going to just get their value absolutely tanked when the Titans draft them. I think
it's a good class. It's a good wide receiver class.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe we'll try to get JJ on, see what JJ is doing, or someone that knows a little bit about this upcoming draft class. But yeah, we'll have that. And if people want more Swolecast episodes during the week, during the season, you want 4 or 5 episodes a week, let us know.
I'll do Swolecast every day, Dave. Don't challenge me.
There's a version where Kitchen doesn't sell his apes. He's rich in ape coin and he distributes $10 in ape coin or 10 ape coins a day to me, Tuttle, and Maddox to do a show.
To do the show. I'd much rather live in that world.
It would be a Web3 Swolecast.
My wedding gift from Dave would have been a lot better in that universe, I think. It
would have been a kennel club dog.
All right. Oh, by the way, kudos and congratulations to Sosa for becoming a dad to a little girl, and he's joining Girl Dad Life. So congrats to him. He's right now taking care of that little girl, and Devin is once again stuck with us. So thank you, Devin, for producing the show for us. Final thoughts before you go, Davis.
You know, it's been a great time as Patrick Mahomes being the MVP favorite, the Chiefs being the Super Bowl favorite, and Nick Rudman, enjoy your 18 months of happiness, because it's not going to last that long, bud.
Davis, when you ask for a Swolecast, if we're doing a Swolecast for every week for the past 7 weeks, was this everything you thought it would be and more?
I really thought it was going to be more mocking you for being excited about Austin Hooper and less of me feeling existential dread about the Chiefs being an 8-win team.
It's called personal growth, Davis. May read a book. All right, Tuttle, final thoughts from you. Any terrible takes?
No, just excited to get working on some updated ownership for the people that are probably complaining that it's not out yet after the LeBron news.
All right. And Peter?
I thought today was a solid show. DB, I think we earned some more shows. And I'll just say, in the game of life, David, you're either the rug puller or you get rug pulled.
Wise words.
All right. That will do it for this week's Swolecast. Hit us up on Twitter. Leave a comment on YouTube. Leave a favorable review on iTunes. That would help out as well. And we appreciate you. All the people that are watching right now, you guys are true fans. And for that, we appreciate you. We'll see you next week here on the Swolecast and RotoGrinders.com. Peace.